Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
The Athletic.
Instead of taking up that gym membership that you wouldn't use even if the gyms were open, how's about subscribing to The Athletic for just £4 a month as a New Year's resolution? You'll get unrivaled football coverage with analysis and in-depth features from the very best writers around, exclusive Q&As with Athletic staff, and ad-free versions of all of The Athletic's podcasts, including this one. Find out more and sign up today at theathletic.com/Scottish Show.
Hello and welcome to the Totally Scottish Football Show in association with Paddy Power. Coming up, the Steelman scare Stevie G, Lennon loses it, and the Dons are dumped in Dingwall. I'm Andrew Slaven, and down the line in Lanarkshire, with a boat and two in the Premiership play, it's Laura Brannan. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. And joining me in exile, away from our bonny wee homeland, is JJ Bull from The Telegraph.
Hello. That's reminded me, there was a guy who used to drink in the pub I used to work in Aberdeenshire. He used to call everyone a bonny loon when he got really drunk and sort of really menacing and aggressive. He'd be like, oh, my bonny loon. That's what he'd sound like. Then he'd start trying to fight people, but like in a nice way. It's really hard to explain. Anyway, hi.
That's one of my favourite Scottish words, that bonny. Very, very nice. Some new additions to Scottish football this week. Australia midfielder Jackson Irvine has signed from Hull to Hibs. Andrew McLean on Twitter pointed out as well that Irvine has a tattoo of Mo from The Simpsons on his leg, which is pretty cool. Do any of you have cool tattoos?
I have a tattoo of you on my face.
You'd be so lucky.
I don't have any tattoos. I'm not cool enough.
I like the fact that people are starting to realise that Jackson Irvine's got a bit of a personality. I worked with him when he was at Celtic's youth team. And
yeah, nice.
He's a really smart guy. Really, really, really smart. And it was actually quite nice because when you went on pre-season trips for like 2 weeks at a time with just the squad, it was nice to have somebody like Jackson there because you'd have a normal conversation with him about things that wasn't football. And he could hold a conversation with you. He's kind of like not your typical footballer in that sense. And it's nice that people are starting to kind of see his personality creep out.
You're saying the Mo tattoo wasn't some drunken weekend trip away?
Oh, I have no
accidentally
idea.
Got.
Not a clue.
It was planned.
But he's clearly not trying to hide it, so...
Absolutely.
He's not embarrassed about it.
Later on, Finn Marks will be getting stuck into Scottish football matters off the field. And we've also got Scotland and Motherwell right-back Stephen O'Donnell. In fact, he's coming up right now.
This is the Totally Scottish Football Show, sponsored by Paddy Power.
It was bottom versus top by the time Motherwell and Rangers kicked off on Sunday lunchtime, but the league leaders dropped points for only the third time this season as it finished one apiece. We're joined now by Motherwell and Scotland right back Stephen O'Donnell. Worked hard at the weekend up against Rangers. It's never an easy game. How did you find it?
Yeah, no, definitely it was obviously a great result, but I think the more pleasing thing was a lot of the things we'd worked on during the week we were able to implement and managed to put in a good team performance, which is the most important thing. And on the back of what was, I thought, a disappointing result against St Mirren, albeit it was a good point to start the new manager's reign, I thought we deserved more. So to get something against Rangers, who are obviously flying, was a great result.
What was the manager saying to you in preparation for it? Like, was there a lot of... What kind of prep did you do? Was there a lot of training ground work on shape or video analysis, things like that?
I think, obviously... There's no surprise how Rangers play. I've seen them often enough. Their fullbacks push on very high. So it was just trying to kind of talk about and play through scenarios. We're hoping to kind of overload them on the counter in the wide areas when Barisic and Tavernier go. So I think a couple of times we managed to do that, certainly in the first half. And again, it was just being patient. They'll have a lot of the ball, let them play around you. But crucial that they don't play through us. And I think the goal will be disappointing that we conceded it, albeit it might have been marginal and offside. But it's always difficult to get the ones against Old Firm. But but it was certainly, look, I think we managed to put everything into practice, and just disappointed we conceded the goal.
Have you found what's the difference that Alexander's made since he's came in? What's your impression of him so far?
Well, look, personally, I've been very impressed. He's come in, a lot of enthusiasm, looking to get his playing a bit more, maybe intensity, if that would be the right word. But again, the old manager, I thought, was unfortunate with a lot of results. He obviously brought me in, and a lot of games were with such small margins, how we had lost them, or the game probably against Hibs where we lost 3-0 probably sums up my first four months at Motherwell. We probably dominated the game for about 60 minutes, 65 minutes, conceded a goal against the run of play. They then had their spell of 10, 15 minutes. Last 5 minutes, we're pushing for an equaliser, and then they win 3-0. Headlines are how bad are Motherwell, 3-0. You know, it was such small margins, and obviously the old manager left, and it's brought in new ideas. But certainly, I think there was a lot to work with, and hopefully, all the players that are there can take advantage of the new regime.
Would you say that's kind of what's going wrong this season? Not just purely bad luck, but it's those sorts of things keep happening.
Yeah, it's small margins. Been a lot of mistakes individually and collectively, and when that happens consistently, obviously it's not good enough. Hopefully that will change. That can sometimes just change through fate. But certainly everything I've seen from the gaffer, the new gaffer now, is that I'm very impressed. Looking forward to all his ideas, and I think all the boys are taken on board.
Right, I'm going to stop talking about Motherwell for a minute, because that's all we ever do. So I'm going to take off my Motherwell hat and put on my Scotland fan hat. Tell me about, we've not had a chance to catch up on this since Serbia. Tell me about kind of that night. So it's, what was it like, really, like once you got off the pitch? And just kind of seeing a year that it's just been so crappy for everyone, how much has that sort of feeling, that feel-good factor, helped everyone?
Look, I certainly hope that everyone, that every football fan in the country, even maybe not football fans, just the average punter, has seen a wee bit of a lift. Obviously, with lockdown and everything that's going on, makes it a wee bit more difficult to see that. I'm sure there's been lots of family around, and I'm pretty sure most of my uncles wanted some sort of celebration, but sadly that was marred by COVID. So, look, I think to get there is just so important for the country, because we're a football nation, been a long, long time, and it was crucial that we've eventually managed to achieve what we've always been capable of achieving. I watched Scotland national teams. Our manager played in Scotland national teams that had but far better teams than ours, but we managed to work hard with the togetherness, and we managed to, I thought, put in an outstanding performance against a top side and make them look average. And I just hope that we're able to do that, what, three times in the qualifiers, and have something to really be proud of it.
I've got a final question for you. Can you boogie?
Can I boogie? Oh, jeez. Not very well. I think I might have been part of that infamous conga, but that's probably as far as my dance moves go. Again, we're all limited. I'm limited technically in football, and I'm limited in my hips. So there's not too much boogieing. Been known to more make a pig of myself, I think, when I'm out of dancing. But it's all for fun. There's no stress in it.
Oh, yeah, we'll see it all in the summer when we win the tournament.
Look, I'll happily boogie every single corner flag if there's fans.
Well, Rangers still unbeaten, but Laura, you must have had a wee notion to think that Motherwell could go all the way in this game.
Oh, Andrew, I'm too old and jaded in this sport to get my hopes up when team take the lead. No, seriously though, no, it was really encouraging. It was a really good day. We looked more like a football team, and I mean that in the sense of there was a kind of unity there. The boys looked to be kind of working for each other, which we haven't so much as seen in recent weeks. It just kind of felt like when Rangers were attacking, they didn't put the fear into me watching it, thinking, oh, this is going to be an onslaught here. Disappointing, yes, to concede the goal, as Sods was saying there, but look, Rangers are very clearly the best team in the country right now. A one each draw is not anything to be ashamed of, especially in the run that Motherwell are on just now, and I think it'll do confidence the world of good.
Did you just call Stephen O'Donnell Sods?
Yeah.
Is that his nickname?
Yeah, you know, S-O-D. His initials, yeah.
Yeah, sod it. Obviously, Motherwell took the lead, like you said, just like they did at Ibrox a month ago. In fact, the Steelmen have actually spent more time in front of Rangers, than any other Premiership side. They've been ahead of Rangers for 118 minutes this season, which is staggering when you think performances like that, and they were bottom of the table.
Do you mean they have been ahead of Rangers more than any other team has been ahead of Rangers, or they've been ahead of Rangers more than they have any other team in the league?
The first. Yeah, against Rangers.
Against Rangers.
So we led the game at Ibrox last month. We were in the lead for something like 67 minutes or something it worked out for.
And that's the most any team has against Rangers.
Yeah, and then this game, it was something like 50-odd minutes that we were ahead for. I mean, yeah, it's a great stat, but I mean, at the end of the day, we've only had a point out of the two games. Yeah. So as you can see, you can construe stats whatever way you want. But no, like, it's great. I think the way that, like, we just kind of touched on it briefly there, the way we kind of lined up was different. We kind of gave Rangers a bit more space down the flanks, which I don't think a lot of people were expecting. And it meant that our game plan was to crowd out the box a bit more. And it stifled Rangers. They didn't have many options in that sense. Like, the first half was very different to the second. The second half was very much a stronger Rangers. I don't think this was a case of Rangers played badly. I think it was more Motherwell actually played well. And that's where the kind of frustration came from Rangers, more so than they were struggling. I don't even think that Motherwell can be criticised for playing too defensively. We brought on Ross McKeever and Stephen Lawless towards the end. Yes, okay, we also brought on Ricky Lammy and Barry Maguire, which were defensive subs. But it was the tactics there was quite good, because it wasn't just... it was learning to hold out games. We've had players talk about it in the past where we have to win ugly towards the end of games, which is something that Motherwell haven't been doing. I know it wasn't a win, but it was that sort of idea. It was dealing with that pressure and holding out at the end. And it's positive. It's encouraging to see Motherwell doing that, especially a team against Rangers.
Yeah, it's encouraging as well for Graham Alexander. You know, he's not been defeated in his two games for Motherwell so far. But Rangers, JJ, had to rely on Cedric Itten to come off the bench and score his fourth Premiership goal. All of his goals, in fact, have came against Motherwell. But what did you make of Rangers in this game?
They played as they normally do. They just couldn't really break down. I think a lot of it to do is what Laura's saying. I was really impressed with how Motherwell defended in particular, and the way they were keeping Rangers quiet was they'd have a line of four or five at the back, and then they'd have either a four or, like a four ahead of that. But it would be, how do I explain this without being able to use the medium of visualness? Maybe normally, say it was like a 4-4-2, right? Normally you'd have four and a four right in front of each other, but this time they had like a four, and then the other four was starting halfway across, so they were cutting out, they were blocking the wide spaces early, so like the fullback couldn't get past that part.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
Yeah.
So they're sort of blocking the wing early, and then they had their two forwards there, and it just kind of kept them quiet. But you look at things like average position maps, and that Rangers had every single player way into the half. They had 70% possession. They kind of controlled the game. Motherwell just did really well at blocking them wherever they're trying to get to. And then crosses in the box weren't working because Motherwell were defending really well there. Probably a lot to do with the step up in intensity. You know, that kind of happens when you get a new manager in. And then they kept chucking strikers on, managed to get a draw out of it. They were fine. Like, these games will happen now and again. There's not much you can do when another team locks it down and does it as well as Motherwell did.
I think the real test is next weekend, because the first Graham Alexander's first game was 24 hours after he was appointed, essentially. I mean, you'd been good to just to know the players' names by that stage walking in the door. And then the second game was Rangers, which is the hardest game you can have in the league. So to then go next weekend, Motherwell are away to Aberdeen, and it's a team that we've not lost to this season, in fact the whole 2020, and it's a team that we have been doing well against despite a bad run. So to then see how Alexander then tests his players in a game like that, I think will be a lot more telling than the first two fixtures.
Yeah, we'll Rangers stay 21 points clear at the top of the table. They can probably afford to drop a few points. So Rangers probably fairly unaffected by just a draw in this one. Up next, a deep dive into the Dons.
RB Leipzig gift shop?
Yeah, I want to return a player. He's not working. He was supposed to help me achieve my goals, but I don't think he even knows what a goal is.
Ah, yeah. Well, all I can say is that he was just fine working when he was to London dispatched.
Oh.
Lampard and Chelsea can't seem to get their money back, but you can with Paddy Power's Acca Cracker. If one leg of your 4+ fold Acca lets you down, get a free bet on all football matches and all markets. Paddy Power! Max free bet £10. Min odds 1 to 5 on each leg. Online exclusive. Exclude shop bets and enhanced match odds. T's and C's apply. 18+. BeGambleAware.org.
On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Smart Speaker, and now ad-free on The Athletic. This is the Totally Scottish Football Show with Andrew Slaven.
County through again. Joe Lewis can't claim the ball, and Jermaine Hilton makes it four. And if there's a piece of footage that sums up Aberdeen's afternoon, that's it.
The result of the weekend came in the Highlands. Ross County's first home win in the Premiership since the opening weekend of the season, with a 4-1 thumping of Aberdeen at Dingwall. We're joined now by Ben Palmer, who covers Aberdeen for The Times. Ben, how big a shock was the result and the performance? Because Aberdeen don't normally lose by four goals, eh?
It was a huge shock, and I think the last time they lost or conceded four goals to a team that wasn't Rangers or Celtic was in the final day of the 2015-16 campaign, also to Ross County, which was a freak result on the final day of the season when a load of youngsters took to the field. So it was a huge, huge shock, especially when County go and score number 3 and 4 in the last 5 minutes. It was a tighter game than 4-1, but nonetheless, the scoreline was a shocker and a bit of a shock to the Aberdeen players, I'd imagine, as well.
It didn't take long, did it? I was listening to Sports Sound and I don't think any other game had kicked off and they were shouting that there'd been a goal. Was it something like that? The online stream hadn't even started, had it?
Well, I had it at 36 and I'm fairly certain that I started my stopwatch as soon as the referee started his. But that's what I mean. I mean, the first minute or so of the game, I was just sort of refreshing Twitter and replying to a couple of messages, and I look up from my laptop screen, the ball's just trickling into the back of the net. It's like, what's just happened here? So I think it completely took Aberdeen by shock. But I mean, fair play to Ross County. They came out, had a go, and well, certainly got the rewards for it.
What do you make of Aberdeen this season? I mean, this performance, you can say it's a shock result, but what have you made of it in recent weeks? And especially in relation to when Dave Cormack said he wants to bring in exciting attacking football.
Yeah, I think at the start of the season, that was certainly it. There was a lot of excitement around Aberdeen. It looked like it was a club that had its mojo back, I suppose. But, and there has been injuries, and there's been all sort of COVID-related incidents as well, but it just seems a club that's sort of stumbling its way through the festive period at the minute. The football can be quite attritional, and games can be quite unattractive to watch, but They still hold the stronger hand in the race for third against Hibernian. I think they're 1 point behind, maybe 2 games in hand. But you just kind of feel that you expected more from Aberdeen this season. With Celtic stumbling from week to week, I think it was maybe expected that Aberdeen can mount a real challenge for second. And a few of the players have spoken about that already, that's the target, but They just don't look capable of that at the minute. They don't look like scoring goals either. Curtis Main and Sam Cosgrove started up front. Cosgrove doesn't look, well, he looks a shadow of the player that he was last season. And Curtis Main, I think he's now got 8 goals in 40 games, which really isn't good enough, a good enough return at a club like Aberdeen.
But do you think that's because the strikers are just not playing well? Or, I mean, to me it looks like there's only one way they create chances, and that's by putting crosses in from the wing backs, and the other teams just don't struggle at all to stop that.
I mean, the service probably isn't there. They were scoring goals when Marley Watkins was up front, and Marley Watkins was linking play, and he was bringing the midfield closer to the front line. And we're not really getting that with Main or Cosgrove at the minute. Main's first touch isn't good enough to link up the play. He isn't as skilled as Watkins in that respect. and he's probably better at flicking it on, but it just isn't working for him at the minute. And I think we would have loved to have kept Watkins for the second half of the season and certainly not lost him to injury in the way we did, but it looks like we're going to have to soldier on without him.
What's the kind of sense from the fans? Are you hearing much? Is McInnes under pressure?
This comes around maybe once or twice a season.
Every week.
Every week, every second month, where Aberdeen go through a bad period and all of a sudden the calls from... And it seems to increase every time. A fairly sizable chunk of supporters is for McInnes to go. And I mean, he's been there 7.5 years now. When we first got together, it was a brilliant honeymoon period between Aberdeen and Derek McInnes. Won a trophy very early on. We were competing at the top end of the table. In the last couple of seasons, it just hasn't had that kind of excitement or spark to it. I'm sure the those within the club will feel that it can spark into life again. It only takes one big result or a cup win to really reinvigorate the club, but it just feels a little bit stale at the minute.
Well, let's give some credit to Ross County, especially, you know, Big Yogi, 2 wins in 6 under him now since he's came in. He's always full of positivity and energy, that it would, you know, naturally you would think it would change the atmosphere in the dressing room. But, you know, I just wonder if they have enough still to keep going. What do you guys think?
I love Yogi. I'm such a big fan of him. I think
I've said it every week. So.
I know. I just think he's refreshing. He's honest. He's just, he loves the game. Like, I think he is a bit too old school. So he does have his faults, but I just think he just wants to play football and win football games, and that sort of passion, like, surely it's going to rub off on the players in his first few weeks in the job. You can't have that sort of infectious personality and not have that sort of impact on the boys, who are obviously down after bad results. I just think with a Yogi team, you wouldn't see them necessarily go all out defending. He doesn't want to play safe, because to him that's not football. He wants to go and attack teams and go this gung-ho attitude, and yeah, they'll probably concede a lot in the process, but it'll be entertaining because it'll be end-to-end. I'm hoping that will be the kind of long-term football that we'll see from Ross County going forward. It's been good so far.
They need to start picking up wins against the teams in and around them, because the 2 wins have came against Hibs and Aberdeen, you know, which you would probably label as shocks. And I wonder if Yogi's made County a bit more streetwise, because they committed 20 fouls on Saturday, more fouls than Motherwell and Rangers committed between them on Sunday. But I just wonder, do you think they're becoming a bit more streetwise, JJ?
Maybe. I mean, committing fouls makes sense if you're trying to stop a team from breaking, and that's all Aberdeen really have, is to try and break. And it's the exact kind of setup that McInnes' teams just cannot seem to break down this season when they play in this system that I still don't really like. They can't, like, play through the lines very well. When they get to the final third, everyone's back and defending, and the cross comes in and it's headed away. And Yogi was talking about it in his post-match, saying that, you know, he's trying to get the energy and intensity up, and just trying to... Everyone who plays Ross County will know they've been in a game. So they might not work every single time, I think he says, but they'll know they've played. And just making them have that intensity and a bit of character and a bit of kind of aggression about them. It's everything Aberdeen lacked. It was really, really poor from the Dons. A lot of fans are really unhappy with what they saw there. It's only one result, but I think the season, it's not very fun to watch them win. I mean, underlying stats, right, it's a lot closer than the scoreline. Like, XG says Aberdeen had the advantage, they had more chances. But I don't think... This is one of the rare times where I think XG just doesn't get it right here. I think Ross County fully deserved to win that, had better chances, totally outplayed them, controlled the game without having the ball. I'm worried about the injuries that Aberdeen have now going forward. Ash Taylor coming out, I wonder if that would make him switch to a back four, because he might not have anyone else that can come in to play.
But yeah, no Hayes. But Hayes is out as well, isn't he?
I don't like Hayes at left wing back or left back. It
well, he was
work.
Caught. He was caught in a kickoff, wasn't he?
He's a great winger. Like, when he gets in, especially when he attacks central space. He used to play off. I mean, he used to play off a striker sometimes when he played for Aberdeen before he went to Celtic. And it makes sense. I mean, Neil Lennon was playing him at left back, because that's how you get him in the team, right, at Celtic. And it doesn't have the. He's not that great defending. He is very good going forward, but because his starting position is so deep, by the time he gets forward to affect play, everyone's already back. He can't do anything.
Ross County had some, you know, big performances for the likes of Ollie Shaw.
Great finishes.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's got 3 goals in his last 4 games, and Harry Payton, I think, had an excellent game as well, 2 assists and a goal in his last 4 games as well. So that's the level of performance that Ross County and Big John Hughes will be hoping that continues for the Staggers.
They'll get points performances like that going forward. Like, they keep defending well and keep getting at other teams. All they need is an off day for a couple of players, and that's them getting a win.
Definitely. Celtic slipped up again. They drew 0-0 at home to Livingston, as that cheeky wee trip to Dubai continues to have consequences.
And we should probably start talking about what Neil Lennon has done in his press conference today.
The whole squad's negative, bar 2 players. I think that's remarkable. And I think it totally blows out of the water the way the trip, the way the training camp has been portrayed by certain quarters of the media, by certain pundits, and by certain government officials as well. We did not abuse any privilege. We did the right things. We were absolutely, totally professional. We had a little drink in the afternoon on a day off, completely allowed, no law breaking. Yet no, we come back to this barrage of absolute hypocrisy.
Peter Lowell, the chief executive, came out and apologised for the training camp in Dubai, said it was a mistake, although it was a bit strange that he did say that the pandemic had probably affected our club more than many, he said, which is bizarre when you look at the likes of, you know, Stranraer and Partick Thistle getting relegated, Hearts as well.
And other clubs all around the world.
Yeah, and other teams getting fined, and, you know, pretty bizarre. But Neil Lennon comes out and gives a fairly aggressive defence of the training camp in Dubai. What are your thoughts on this?
I mean, this is even worse than the defence. That this is full tinfoil hat on, like saying there's an agenda against them and it's political. It's ridiculous. I can't believe he's come out and said it. Like, that is... Remember that Kevin Keegan losing the plot bit where he goes, I would love it if we beat them. This is a sort of like Neil Lennon just having no grasp of reality in the situation that he's in. Yes, he might not have broken any protocols with doing it because they were technically allowed to, but he must be able to see how this looks and how everyone else in the country looks at it. Celtic's fans don't agree with it. He wants an apology from Andy Walker, who was really emotional in the way he was talking about it, how much of basically of a disgrace it was, calling it a jolly. And then Neil Lennon saying, well, I only had a little drink on the Tuesday, or whatever. Like, you... Sure enough, like you must get it. How can you not understand what's going on with this? I want to hear what Laura says.
Yeah, me too.
I feel really sorry for people who do not like Scottish football or dismiss Scottish football as just little Scottish football. It's not important because they're missing out on the best soap opera of all time.
The last few years has been nuts.
This season, Celtic this season is just the gift that keeps on giving because it's just story after story. And you've really just got to sit back and laugh because otherwise you just cry at this entire situation and the football COVID life that we're living just now. But yeah, I mean, where do you even start? What Lennon said in terms of justifying the fact that they didn't break any rules, we get it. He's correct. They didn't break rules. And yes, he's defending himself in that sense. But it's more naivety to come out and shout about this when your own fans aren't in agreement with you. The optics look horrendous. And just know when to stop talking. The story was dying away. And it's just gained more life again a week later.
He started by saying only 2 players have got coronavirus.
No. The whole squad is negative, except the 2 players that aren't. But like the Andy Walker thing's strange because I feel like the club are just kind of picking on one person that's criticised them. There's been a lot of people that have criticised them. This word jolly gets, I kind of pulled this up, I think it was last week or the week before, this story's been going on a while. This word jolly gets thrown around a lot in terms of winter breaks. I don't agree with it. I don't like it because I've seen what winter breaks are like. But Andy Walker was not the only one to use that term or to say the words that he did. So it's strange to pick on that one person.
I've not even seen on Twitter, like the land of opinions, people really backing Celtic's take on this. If it's Siege mentality trying to put in his players, it's weird. I mean, Celtic have... It's not only that they completely shagged 10 in a row, and now they're basically taking on the baton of the banter years with all this coming on and making themselves not a laughing stock, but it's just not on. They should conduct themselves differently to how they're doing it. It's very easy to say that and everything.
Yeah, I mean, Peter Lawwell's apology was just strange because he spent the first 40 seconds apologising and then the next 4 minutes kind of condoning everything else that Celtic have done and everything in defence of it. It's what I kind of call a typical boy apology, where people say, I'm sorry, but... And they then spend the next 5 minutes explaining that, actually, you did something wrong, or actually, I was kind of right, after all. And continuing to defend themselves, instead of just knowing when to stop. Stop after that. You said sorry. Just stop it. Stop digging more. We don't need to know about your charity that you've donated to. You don't need to know about the values of the club and the history or how much it's affected your club more than anyone else in the world. Just stop. Just say sorry and stop. And that's it. And then it was followed up by, what was it, a day later, the under-18s have all been furloughed, which it was a very bad timing and just did not look good at all. It was just yet another negative day for Celtic.
And the thing is, right, like, sure, like we said, Lennon's been going on about how he didn't break any protocols or whatever, but by going away and one person coming down with the virus, it means they then have to isolate everyone, so that means he doesn't have half his team. It's not like some referee person hasn't decided to take half of Celtic's team away. And like David Martindale after the Livingston game was saying that they thought it was a bit of a missed opportunity because it's such a weakened team, and they were decent enough. I think that's... have they not lost in 10 games or something like that now? Or they've got 8 wins and a draw from 9 or something? Yeah. He's doing quite well. I think it might be good.
I think what Martindale's doing is brilliant. I know I was just praising Yogi there, but how good is Martindale? He's another one I'm a fan of. I love listening to his interviews. I think he's so engaging and he just says it like it is. I just love that brutal honesty. I really like what he's doing with them just now, and yeah, what a run they're on. Obviously they've got Celtic midweek. It's going to be very hard going for their 10 unbeaten. I think Livingston, and I think I spoke about it last week as well, are a good shout for a third. Still a few points behind just now, still a kind of gap, but if Aberdeen continue in the form they're going on just now and struggle to kind of pick it up a bit and spark some life into their team, then yeah, why not have a fight out between Hibs and Livy for Europe? Because right now they're the strongest two outside of Celtic and Rangers. They've got very good squads. They're entertaining to watch as well. I like what they're doing. And also this season, don't forget that there's a possibility fifth place could also get Europe. So even as it stands, Livy could actually be in a European spot right now.
That's so impressive, that the turnaround that Martindale has achieved so far. They haven't finished third since their first season ever.
And they're not going to this year, just to be clear. Well, Aberdeen or Hibs.
Perhaps. And they've got a really good chance on Wednesday. They haven't lost to Celtic at the Tony Macaroni for the last 3 games. And I was looking at the last time Livingston have been in Europe once before. And they got knocked out, I think, in their second game. They won their first qualifying game, and they then played Sturm Graz, or Graz, whose stadium at the time was called the Arnold Schwarzenegger Stadium. It's not that anymore, which is sad, because it would have been nice if that happened again. They lost 8-6 on aggregate.
Sadly, they won't be back.
You don't think they'll be in Europe?
Oh, my God. How'd you miss that one? Really?
Was it obvious, wasn't it? I hate myself a little bit. So much so, I'm going to move on to the next conversation. Because coming up next, 3 of the 4 League Cup semi-finalists. Don't, JJ, don't make me go back.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer, if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Smart Speaker, and now ad-free on The Athletic. This is the Totally Scottish Football Show with Andrew Slaven.
Deutsch, it's Gogic! What a strike from Alex Gogic!
the Cypriot midfielder. First goal for Hibernian.
Hibs 2, Kilmarnock 0. A first win in 5 for Jack Rossi's team. In difficult conditions as well. What did you guys make of this game?
I think any team could have won this, to be honest. What can you say about it? Like, Kilmarnock were unlucky with some chances they missed. I think Hibs probably had the better chances overall. Kabamba hitting the post was obviously the closest kill he kind of came. The cross from Doig for the own goal was very well struck. And I don't know why Powers slid in for it. I mean, he must just... I don't know why he does it.
Well, why wouldn't he?
Because the goalkeeper should say leave it, because he's got a clear path to catch it. I guess he's just trying to kind of cut it out, but yeah, he's just done it wrong. Oh, by the way, the Gogic hit is so, so nice. Like, you know when you hit a football like that, you can feel it come off your... Off the laces.
Like,
you
it's like know a golf shot when you hit that really well.
Yeah, and the little noise, and you just know. Ah, oh, it must be.
Do you know what else
nice
is nice? The celebration was nice because he revealed that he's going to have a baby girl with his wife. So he put the ball under his shirt to make it look like he was pregnant, and put his thumb in his mouth, like all baby celebrations are. Like.
I think this was a bad one for Kelly, to be honest. I kind of feel like it was such a woeful, lackluster performance from them that. There's not really a threat from them just now up front. There's no kind of real pace or aggression, or like you just kind of think, well, where are the goals going to come from? There's just a kind of overall lack of kind of ambition there, I feel. I know Dyer's came in for some criticism from fans. I don't know if you could really kind of directly associate those negatives with what he's bringing to the squad. So I'm not necessarily saying that a change would change that in any way. I just feel like it just wasn't a good game for Kelly. And on a weekend where their fans turned up for them, I feel like their players didn't. And I mean that in the sense of the fans raised the money to cover their fine from the SFA, the SPFL. I know we'll touch on that kind of more later, the COVID points. But yeah, so the fans raised thousands of pounds for the club to pay off this fine for the debacle that's been going on recently. And it was great for the fans to do that. Absolutely fantastic, like, from the Kelly Trust. But on a weekend where they do that and they go to all that effort and the players put in that sort of performance,
it's not an easy place for Kilmarnock to go, though, because I don't think they've not won at Easter Road in 7 games now. So it's a tough place to go. Hibs are doing well. Kilmarnock with a few key players missing as well. Broadfoot and Dicker weren't playing. So Power was actually captain in this game.
Yeah, I've been speaking to some Kilmarnock fans, doing a bit of journalist research, and just on the back of what Laura says.
Very fancy.
I know. Really putting the work in. Like Laura's saying that maybe they want a change or something. I think what the general kind of view with Kilmarnock fans that I get is that they kind of just want a bit of consistency. They've had something like 10 managers in 11 years constantly changing. Everyone does well, like Steve Clark did. You know, they move on to different things because there's quite an obvious large glass ceiling that they kind of reach. So another thing with Alex Dyer at the moment is that he seems to change... like what his team is every single week. There's no consistency. Maybe the players can't quite get on what's going on. Maybe he's doing a kind of Ole Solskjaer thing where he adapts his team every single week, but it's not really having the effect. You don't see much difference in the performance. It's just a different team. So it might be that he needs a couple of transfer windows to be able to make a side more like what he wants. But having worked under Steve Clarke, you think he kind of has what he wants. Maybe just better players.
Yeah, maybe.
They're just not very good.
Hibs do go up to third after that win. St Johnston, they ended their 10-match winless run with victory over St Mirren on Saturday. Chris Kane with the only goal in the first minute of the second half. But what's your thoughts in the build-up to this goal? Because it looked as though it hit Guy Melamed's hand in the build-up.
Should
the goal have stood?
Which should have been a free kick, so they should never have scored a goal in the first place. But maybe they would have scored some other way from, you know, it doesn't just mean they wouldn't have. I mean, it was a 0-0 this game. It was really not. I think Jim Goodwin even said that at the end. He really laid into the referee.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah, he probably defended him. He defended him first and then went really hard on him and was really pointing out the mistakes he made, particularly the handball. He was standing right next to it, so he should really have blown for that.
It's a shame, but they also got a goal last weekend from a very blatant not a penalty. So, you know.
Swings and roundabouts.
So I'm not really feeling the sympathy for him there.
Callum McPherson sent off, two yellow cards. I think both are probably yellows. He does sort of get the ball the second time.
The second one's a wee bit harsh, I'd say.
But I don't know, it's kind of weird. He's so close to not getting it. Hold on a minute.
How is the second one harsh? Because I know he gets the ball, but his foot is flat and his studs are showing. And I think I've watched the replay quite close. And after he gets the ball, he actually nicks Melamed's ankle. So I think there's contact after the initial foul.
But I don't
after
think the foul initial is, tackle, he slid foul is for him, studs though. Up. The foul is because it's late, it looks like to me, because he takes the boy out. That's what I thought it was for, rather than... I don't know. I thought the referee maybe got... I don't know. He's off He's done.
Let's talk about the League Cup semi-finals as well, because both of these clubs are involved. We've got St Johnston taking on Hibs and St Mirren up against Livingston. And you'd probably say, on domestic form, Hibs and Livingston are the favourites. Agree, JJ?
I don't know. It's really weird.
It's difficult because it's a cup competition.
Hibs are the best team. Livingston are in the best form, but I like how St Mirren play and they can easily do a job. And St Johnston, I just fancy to do something weird in a cup by staying, be really hard to beat and getting a scrappy goal.
I just don't think you can call this at all. Yeah, I mean, you've seen it even this season. St Mirren put Rangers out of the cup, and even if they're not on a good run, they can still pull off a shock result. They've done it in the past as well. Like when they won the League Cup, they put Celtic out on the way. So they're capable of big results when it matters. Obviously, on form, you kind of go, right, well, Hibs sitting third on the table and Livingston are on such a good run. Yeah, okay, fine, it'll be them in the final, but I don't think you can call it. St Johnstone's and are very capable of pulling results out of the bag, especially in a one-off game like this. I'm really looking forward to it. I don't think you can call it right now, and that's exactly what you want from a cup competition.
Finally, Hamilton 0, Dundee United 0 is my updates. The draw is always a safe bet for Dundee United. Mickey Mellon's men have drawn 4 of their last 5. They've drawn 10 in total in the Premiership. 5 of those have been 0-0. They seem to do well in games and their performance levels are high, but they really struggle to kill games off. I mean, they even drew 2-2 with St Johnstone last week. They just can't find that killer edge, can they, Laura?
No, it's kind of brutal when you look at the stats like that. 5 of their 10 draws have been goalless. I mean, God, I feel for the Dundee United fans that are paying for this stream week in, week out, because that's not good entertainment they're getting. They're not getting value for money. I feel like United should be beating teams like Hamilton, but they're just not playing attacking-minded football right now. They're playing to avoid defeat. And I think we've touched on it in previous weeks. I get it, that their priority is safety. And once they secure that safety, then we might see a wee bit more positive football, less negative defensive, cautious play. I mean, only one sub for Mellon when it isn't working. Why not changing it up? Why are you not kind of looking to sharpen up the side? The game was there for the taking, and I don't think United did enough to get the points, which they could have done against Accies.
JJ, what do you think? Are Dundee United not rewarding their fans with enough wins? I mean, they're still, you know, mid-table. They're roughly quite safe of bottom and relegation. It's been an okay season so far, hasn't it?
Yeah, if you don't lose, the other team doesn't win. I mean, they don't score many goals, so that's not ideal. But they are playing with what they have. They don't have good players as certain other teams, so this is making them get the results. Like, I mean, it's not the thing with football, it's not theatre. So although it would be nice to watch a lovely game every single week, often that does not get you the result that you need. And Mellon has a certain way of playing and likes to shut games down. I mean, they'll eventually get different players in the future, I'd imagine, that'll help them. And if that, like Ryan Fulton and his reaction save, he just manages to put the ball over the bar with his, I can't remember what arm it was, but it's a really good reaction save. If that header just goes slightly different, a different part of the goal, they've got the win, and you're like, oh, well, they've masterminded a clever 1-0 win over a really difficult Hamilton. But yeah, I think, I don't know if the fans are getting value for money or whatever, but they're I mean, they're sitting comfortably in sixth at the moment and they look good for it. So I wouldn't be moaning too much. It's the kind of thing where it's kind of okay to watch for a season and a bit, and then fans start to get a bit bored of it, and then they start to ask for something to change. It's sort of like what you see with Aberdeen sometimes at the moment.
It's hard for both clubs at the moment, because I know Hamilton have had their severe injury list in recent weeks, but that's still three clean sheets in four games for the Accies, and we all know Dundee United, their players and their staff are currently working under, well, they've all taken wage cuts recently as well, so we know it's hard for all clubs right now, but I think both teams should be pretty happy with a point in this game. There certainly wasn't a better team, maybe Dundee United slightly. But moving on, we'll talk about some fantasy football.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This is the Totally Scottish Football Show, part of the Athletic Podcast Network.
Game week 24 in Fantasy Football Scotland. Which is still going on. Oh, that's right, it's still going, because Livingston hosts Celtic this week. David Turnbull, Laura, your favourite player in Scotland. Once again, the most bought player this week after his stunning free kick against Hibs. But he couldn't repeat the trick, of course, against Livingston on Saturday. Maybe he will on Wednesday.
God, I hope so. I think I've got more points on my bench this week than on the actual first 11.
Oh, I have a new bit of advice, right? I also left Tony Watt on my bench and he got five, which is kind of karma for putting one of my own players on the bench. I say my own player, like I'm the manager. I'm the manager of my fantasy team,
so
right?
So yeah, Devante Cole, he's got two goals in two games, isn't
yep.
he?
Yeah.
And both of the assists have been from Tony Watt as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's this little bit of symmetry there. But my advice though is, right, I'm changing tactic because every week we're complaining that our bench is getting more points than our actual team. So I'm saying, scrap your bench. Okay, I'm going to say, fill your bench with the cheapest players who don't play. Save your money for other players that are going to play. And that way, every week, you don't have that hard decision of, oh, should I put him in? Should I leave him on the bench? Oh, crap, he got 12 points and he's on my bench. You know your bench isn't going to play and you've just got 11 good players. That's it. That's my advice.
Don't listen to this. Wonder- this is Laura's trying to sabotage everyone else so that she can climb up the table.
Well, she's
I don't
she's
think that's good advice.
It's her and Kieran Cannon that seem to be the front runners at the moment.
Away.
Do you know another thing as well, right?
Because you all have Rangers defenders.
Who laughed at me last week when I said put Alex Gogic in a team? Who laughed at me, JJ?
The country.
His only goal in about 400 games.
He also damn got 8 points. Laura. He got yeah, 8 points at the weekend and scored a goal.
How was JJ supposed to know that Gogic got news that he was going to be a dad?
I didn't know he would score that volley. I had no idea.
I knew he was going to.
My tip is Paul McGinn, who I think has been absolutely superb this season.
Yeah.
Really important for Hibs. Gets forward a lot. He's always high and wide. He's got 3 goals and assists and 10 clean sheets. Also, if you're trying to look for space on your bench, like Laura's just said, Josh Doig is about 2 million. So it's nothing. I mean, that's one of the cheapest players I think you can get that actually gets points. So look out
for
him.
But don't leave him on your bench.
Oh, I did.
Another one, Mark O'Hara's back, should be back at the weekend for Motherwell. And he's, I don't know if he's down as a midfielder or a defender. He obviously plays in both roles. I think he's down as a midfielder, but he takes the free kicks and penalties for Motherwell quite a lot and scored a penalty last time Motherwell played at Pittodrie. So
that is good advice.
Know.
I like that. That's good.
I was going to say, and I know I'm rubbish at this game, but I quite like to look at Harry Payton at the weekend. He's only 3 million. I think I said earlier on, 2 assists and a goal in these last 4 games as well. And if Ross County are going to go on a run, I think he'll be one of the key guys, along with Ollie Shaw as well. But don't listen to me.
There also aren't many.
Or me. Listen
also,
to Laura.
Take out your Livy, Hibs, Johnson, St Mirren players because they're playing the cup this weekend.
Oh, I've got loads of them.
So all put right. them all on the bench.
Let's move on. I hate this.
Time now to hear from our friends Paddy Power, courtesy of super producer Charlie. It's a big week for the world coming up, isn't it?
Yes, on Wednesday, a commander-in-chief with a slightly checkered past finally takes his place centre stage. We all want to see him do well. We all want to see him lead us through these dark times. On the other hand, if you don't think David Martindale's Livy will beat Celtic, Paddy Power make whatever team Celtic put out at 4-6 to win at the Tony Macaroni. The draw is 27-10, while Livingston are 15-4. Then on Saturday, is it that time again? The Bull Brannan Derby. The last time the Steelmen went to Pittodrie, they won 3-0. Paddy Power think the odds of that happening again are 45-1. In fact, Rangers winning both the Premiership and the Europa League is more likely in the eyes of Paddy Power than Motherwell beating Aberdeen 3-0 on Saturday. You heard it here first.
What?
Amazing. I love Brannan and Bull. It's very kind of, you know, lawyer company-esque.
Also, I admire the construction of that joke from Charlie. The America joke is a good
He's
joke.
Very good at constructing things.
He's built a good joke there and delivered it finely.
Unlike some people I know. You can find out these odds and more at paddypower.com or the Paddy Power app. Prices are accurate at the time of recording. It's over 18s only. T's and C's apply. And when the fun stops, stop. With football below championship level suspended and with only three games in the championship actually beating the weather this weekend, how about we have a wee chat about some SPFL and SFA bureaucracy? Joining us now, he is the Hound of Justice himself. It's Finn Marks. Hello, Finn.
Hey. Hello.
How do you like that, being called the Hound of Justice?
Big fan of that. I'm going to put that straight on my Twitter bio.
So, might not have championship football for much longer because I'm sure you've seen that the SFA chief executive Ian Maxwell wrote to all clubs and asked them if they want to carry on. So can you tell us what's going on?
Well, yeah, so Ian Maxwell wrote on Friday to all 10 championship clubs asking if they wanted to continue playing or suspend the season, asking for a decision by the end of Monday, end of play Monday. And in his email to the clubs, he kind of referred to the fact that one club had publicly called for the suspension of all football. He wrote in his email, one SPFL championship club has publicly taken the position that all football should be suspended. The Scottish FA would like to understand the position of your club. Please confirm if you're content to continue under the current exemption or whether you can, whether your club considers that all championships should be suspended. But I think it actually looks like Maxwell's misinterpreted comments from Inverness Cali Thistle manager John Robertson in one of his most recent press conferences as a kind of like the official endorsement of Cali Thistle's supposed position, which is wanting all football suspended, something which they've actually come out and officially denied.
Well, at least he's paying attention to what some of the managers are doing rather than to stay at home and going on Zoom occasionally and playing Warzone.
But why did he not just contact Cali directly to clarify their stance on this before contacting all the championship clubs?
I'm not entirely sure. It's a really weird thing. So what had happened was John Robertson had kind of been ruminating in a press conference about the SFA and the SPFL statement, and he was debating, I guess, more the kind of moral implications of keeping playing when the pandemic seems to be getting worse and worse across the whole of the UK. And the way that the championship clubs had kind of been forced to adapt very quickly to brand new protocols around testing in that division. And he was also talking as well about the toll it had taken on his own mental health and that he was worrying for the welfare of his players and his staff and all their families. And that just kind of comes off the back of, off the back of all this that Maxwell composed his email to the championship to ask whether they wanted the season to continue. I think weirdly, I just think this whole situation is actually Ian Maxwell and the SFA's rather clumsy attempt, it's got to be said, at trying to be slightly more proactive than they and the SPFL have been during this whole pandemic in trying to, you know, now ensure an ongoing dialogue between those at the top of the game and the clubs. Of course, this all comes off the back as well of the SFA halting the leagues, as you were saying, in everything below the championship, in the predominantly semi-professional tiers of Scottish football for a couple of weeks, without any real kind of consultation, I think, with the clubs in those leagues. Stenhouse Muir's chairman, Ian McMenemy, this week had claimed that the SPFL had muted the microphones of the club members in the most recent general meeting with the SPFL to kind of, well, he thought it would be in trying to avoid some of the tough questions that they would have faced on the league shutdown. I mean, to me, I just think a lot of this is down to really poor communication at all levels of our game. You know, they say that the key to a successful marriage or relationship is communication. I think Scottish football's in some real need of marriage counselling, because it's kind of evident that there's this complete communication breakdown between those who are supposedly running the game and the clubs themselves, and the way that they interact constantly.
Talk to me about the submitting and Kelly not having to lose points then, Finn, because obviously, like, for a period of time, the Premiership table looked a bit different because Hamilton and Motherwell got awarded the points, and then they got the points taken off them, and now the games are having to be rescheduled. So tell me, what's your take on all of it?
I mean, this is something that we chatted about months ago now on the show. I think this kind of, you know, the lack of leadership and being proactive from the SPFL before the season even began, that they didn't properly define the protocols and situations that could and should have been thought about before the season started. And it's just led to this kind of constantly muddled, unclear, making it up as they go along approach. I think with the Killie and St Mirren winning their appeal, I think the SPFL and the SFA kind of placed themselves in a rather invidious position in the wake of Celtic's trip to Dubai recently, when our old pal Ian Maxwell, again being in the spotlight, had kind of come out very quickly publicly saying that he didn't think Celtic had a case to answer for. And then 2 days later, kind of doing a bit of a U-turn and saying, oh, of course, the Celtic trip will be brought before the compliance officer to see if they've broken any protocols. And I think in the wake of that, in seeing, I think that not really being seen to come down as harshly on Celtic round about the whole Hibs game and coming back from Dubai as they had done initially on Killie and St Mirren, I don't think it really left him anywhere else to turn but to reverse the decision to forfeit those games. I do feel really sorry, I've got to say, for Motherwell in all this, Laura, because they just seem to be the victims of circumstance, and that, you know, they just so happened to be the club that were due to play Killie and St Mirren. And that's kind of taken them from being in the top six just before Christmas to, you know, being at very close to the foot of the table a few weeks later. So the impact on that's got to be huge on the morale and mentality around the club there.
A good news story, I suppose, is, you know, not surprisingly, from a fan's point of view, the Kilmarnock Trust have raised almost 20 grand as well to pay for SPFL fines. I mean, that's something to be, you know, commended.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that was incredible to see. So Killie, despite winning their appeal against the 3-0 default win to Motherwell, were still stuck with the £20,000 fine because of the breach of protocols they'd been found to be in, with half of that suspended until the end of the season. So they had to pay £10,000 up front. The Killie Trust and Board announced that they'd committed £5,000 of general fund money towards the 10 grand penalty, but had called on Killie fans to see if they could help meet that extra £5,000, the other part of the fine. And within less than a day, they'd raised over £17,000. And that total, I think, is still climbing. It shows, I think, just once again, the incredible support that Scottish football fans have shown to their clubs up and down the country during this whole pandemic.
That's all from us. Thank you for listening. Thanks to JJ, Laura, Finn, Benji, Stephen O'Donnell as well. Great guest to have on the show. And to the Little Kicks for this awesome theme song that you're hearing right now. Let's not forget producer Charlie, who smells fantastic, I have to say, even on a Zoom call that we're having right now. We'll be back next Tuesday after the League Cup semi-finals.
You've been listening to the Totally Scottish Football Show, part of the Athletic Podcast Network. Keep up to date with everything Totally at thetotallyfootballshow.com and by following at The Totally Show on Twitter and Insta. Check out all of the Athletic's football podcasts on Apple, Spotify and all the usual places, or listen ad-free on the Athletic app. The Totally Scottish Football Show is a Money News Media production and sponsored by Paddy Power.
The Athletic.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.